David said, God inclined unto me, I waited patiently, he brought me my feet out of the horrible pit and miry clay and set it upon a rock first, then he established my goings. It says, the path of the just is as a light, then it shineth brighter and brighter. And then Peter said, take heed unto the more sure word of prophecy as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns. So it's increasing and the day star rises. So what happens is, the Holy Ghost, all right, gives that initial revelation, which is the seed for that particular thing, but then it continues to water it. More thoughts are coming in. Do you understand this? So when Daniel was going to pray, he said, I found the revelation in Jeremiah 29. The 70 years has come, and then they started praying, and then thoughts begin to come. So if God tells that man, you are moving into a new business venture, all right, and you are leaving this business, then he begins to pray, guide me, Lord. And every day he's now praying and thoughts of peace are coming in. All right? And then he's following those thoughts. He says, you go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Those thoughts are now leading him. All right? If God says, well, this is what the dream is, says, I've got to build it to this place. He said, I will supply you with the thoughts every day as you are praying this thing here. The thoughts will be coming from me. All right? I'll remove the old thoughts that brought it into this state, and I'll replace it with new thoughts that will change the form. Now, you just keep following those thoughts. All right? You just keep following those thoughts. You say, well, what do I do with the thoughts? He says, what you've got to do is to meditate upon these things. All right? Give yourself wholly. Let these thoughts, that's what Paul was saying, these things that are lovely, that are pure. He says, look, don't turn back. He says, if thoughts will be coming, and those thoughts are thoughts of that expected end, which means that with the path of the just, this thing is not, you know, it's like a light that is shining brighter, which means every day you are getting closer and closer. Every day the intensity of the peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there is no end. The intensity of the peace, the joy is growing. All right, things are happening on the inside of you. All right, the kingdom of God is developing there. So you're getting closer and closer. Even though there's no manifestation in your heart, you are getting closer. You are following the thoughts of God. You are following, all right, the leadership of the Spirit. And it's giving you those thoughts. And then what you do, you meditate on these things, right? You start meditating, thinking upon these things, what he says. Meditating. What's the purpose of meditation? Joshua, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night. All right, that you might do what? Put it up there. That you meditate upon it when? Day and night. It says that you mayest observe. So the purpose of meditation is for you to observe, not that, observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, which means when you have observed to do, the consequence of that is that you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. So meditation should bring you to a place where you observe to do, and then when you get there, the result of that is that you will make your way prosperous and you have good success, or the real translation says you will be wise in the affairs of life, which means the success that comes from making the right decisions. In other words, people who make the right decisions are the people that are successful. In other words, they're making the right decision. So it says, this book of the law shall not depart. So you want to meditate upon it. Another scripture that is a twin to that says, my son, attend to my words. Be attentive. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart out of your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So what am I saying to you? If we see you today, you are red hot, and say, look, you know, I heard from God, let's go walk. And then we see you day after tomorrow, and your countenance has changed, and you are discouraged. You are blocking the manifestation of the answer. Nothing is going to happen because you are being double-minded. And the reason why that has happened is because you are not being continuously filled with the Spirit concerning that thing. Once the level of Spirit drops on the inside there, the mind begins, all right, to go, all right, to vanity, and you start thinking about the things going on in your environment. But when you are filled with the Spirit, you are influenced by the Spirit, your mind is being influenced by the Spirit, you mind the things of the Spirit. So you want to be meditating. Your mind should be on these things here. All right, every spare time you have, you are thinking about that expected end. You are looking at that future. You are doing that. So he says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. So he says, pay attention. What does it mean to pay attention? It is continuous concentration, which means an even, unbroken flow of thought. And that is the result of patient and persistent in a well-regulated system. In other words, you persevere, you have a system, all right, which is day and night. There's a system behind how you are meditating. Okay, so it's concentration. Now, concentration there, scriptural is not that I'm squeezing my eyes and I'm concentrating. Okay, now to meditate is to become, which means concentration, to become identified with the new character God is showing you and forgetting, all right, who you are in the natural. In other words, James said, a man who doesn't do the word but hears is a man that looks at himself, the new character, in the mirror, and then goes and forgets what manner of man. The man that practices looks at himself and continues therein. In other words, he says, this is the manner of man that I am. This is my new identity. This is how I behave. So what he's doing is looking at that man. He's looking at that man. And as he looks at that man, the Bible says, with an open face, as we behold in a mirror, like we're looking into the mirror, at the glory of God at work in our lives, we are transformed into the same image from level of glory to another level of glory. So you are looking at that man there, okay? Your eyes are on that man, all right? You are not a forgetful hearer. Because a forgetful hearer looks at the man and then he forgets what manner of man he is. Let me give a practical example here. Let's say somebody has a problem with being impatient, which means they get irritable fast and they throw tantrums and it really is bad. It's affecting the marriage, it's affecting business, it's affecting staff in the office, morale is low, they see you, they just go and hide behind the door. You know, everybody is managing you. You know what you're talking about, all right? Even though you're very talented, you are being managed, okay? And that's not good for you. So you say, God, Nathan, I've got to change this. So you say, listen, I have to make a supplication to you concerning this. Now, the supplication deals with something specific. It deals with the fact that you are impatient and you want to change that. So it is based on a prayer. What is the prayer? You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And this love says you are patient and kind. Somebody says, well, if it is so, then I don't have to pray it is so. But listen, that's not the way it works. All right? That's not the way it works. If that's the way it works, Paul that taught it was the same Paul that came to the church at Philippi and said, I pray that your love will abound, all right, more and more in all knowledge and judgment, that you might approve things that are excellent, that you might be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Because if you read the letter down, some people are preaching there, all right, with contention and strife to add. So he knew there was a spirit of offense in that area. So he was saying, look, I'm praying for you guys that your love will abound, which means in that area. So you say, well, the love, but I'm asking for you, God, transformation in this area. So you pray that, okay, to God. So God says, fine. He begins to give you thoughts from the word concerning to reinforce. Now, that's just the basic three things you prayed, but he now starts showing you in various places about patience, things you've not seen in the scripture. Those thoughts are coming in. So now you want to start meditating. So he says, you know what you're going to do? Look at yourself. Now, see yourself now as being patient. You say, what does that mean? He says, now keep watering. Now begin, all right, to see yourself. So he says, let's go back as you are meditating there to the last time you threw tantrums. So he replaced that for you. The person does that. You know, you think about it. You still feel irritated as you're meditating. He says, now look at the new man, the way he will behave in that situation. And then the man goes there, sees that person do it, hugs the person, all right, shakes the person and walks away. I mean, that's the way I broke out the habit of smoking. All right, I'll come out of Maria Hall, University of Lagos, the malams are on the right, and that's the problem, I will go there. So I was confessing, but then I started beholding myself all right, in the word of God. Come out of Marie Hall, walk past the Malams, all right, greet friends there, but have no attachment to cigarette, go and come back. First day I got there, this is what happened. Second day, you are coming down, and the pool of cigarettes is there. But you find out that something has started struggling with that thing, and it's a greater power than your own natural power, which means the word of God has started operating there. So you fall short, you acknowledge it, repent from dead works, and confess your faith towards God. Reaffirm it, that go back. Well, after about 2 weeks, I found that I had walked past for 3 days without thinking, which means what I was seeing had come to pass in my life. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you sit down there and you begin, all right, to see the word of God, that new character, forgetting who you are in the natural. Portray in your mind the events of the world of your life. This is to observe, which means you're observing yourself doing the word of God. All right, you are engrossed in the thought, and you become, for those moments, conscious of nothing else but the word of God, and you fulfilling the word of God. So to meditate is not just to think thoughts, but the conversion of those thoughts that are in the word of God into physical values. You've made your specific request. So he's giving you the thoughts for those specific things. So convert it into those specific physical values and events, replacing weakness, all right, with strength. Now, what's going to happen when you start doing this? For example, somebody says, well, I'm meditating now, God. All right, this problem here, let's assume that I have a problem in my marriage and I'm meditating. All right, the woman says the man is behaving very badly. All right, and you go to God in prayer. Now, maybe you started out by praying and checking whether your prayer had worked on him to see whether he had changed. That is not prayer. That is manipulation. All right? Number two, let me just say this. I've said the last two services. As a woman, you can't change your husband with your words. Listen to me. You can't be shouting and he will change. He will not change. It's not me that said it. The Bible said it. That is with conversation and not with what? Word. So if you start using word, you are using the wrong thing. Your man will be going, you are nagging. That man is going farther and farther away from you. And don't let him get his heart hardened. In fact, someone told me something one time. I said, I hope you did not say this. And I said it. I said, yeah. Say, Pastor. I said, now you've made the matter harder now. All right? Somebody called me one time and said, listen. I said, I can't help you. You shouldn't say that. After 10 days, I will show up. Because you knew I could help you, so you went to say something, knowing that when he scatters, Pastor will come in. I'm not coming. I'm like Jesus. I will sit down for 2 days. I'm not coming. All right? So, you start saying that, and you are nagging. I know somebody many years ago. I don't think I was born again then, right? And you know, these were SU days, and you know, they were both unbelievers. She now got saved, you know. And you know, when the Vasilios, this man will drink his beer with his friends. She just came into the house. No! Demons! No demon! You do that once, twice, the guy got up. Gentleman. He said, look, the house is your own. All the good cars are yours. He drove the smallest car. She said, what's the problem? He said, peace. He went to a small apartment. He said, peace. Even though he was not a Christian, he was not even a Christian, nominal Christian, no religion. His conscience was, you know, the Bible says the law and the conscience. So the conscience said it's better to dwell in the rooftop than in the house with. All right. So he went there. All right. Then she started crying and checking. So if you go that way, it won't work. Are you following what I'm saying here? Or you call a meeting. If you listen to me, you can't play me that way. Me, I'm smart. You can't call a meeting. Me, I'm your husband. Let's go and see pastor together. So you'll be shouting on him there. Listen to me. If you start shouting on me, too, I'll start shouting on you too. You can't set him up that way. I will never agree. How do you should just see me shout? You say, what kind of pastor is it? Then you know that we need to pay meji. All right. So that means there are two madmen now. So you don't do that. But what do you do? All right. Now this is not easy. This is your light affliction that work an eternal weight of glory. So he comes back, and let's say his behavior is hoo-hoo when he comes back. But you want him to be ah. So you pray and God shows you ah. So you begin to behold him coming back ah. And both of you holding hands ah. But when he comes back that next day, he still comes, Yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo! He says, this is your light affliction. Take your eyes off Yoo-hoo, Yoo-hoo. Keep your eyes on Ah, Ah, Ah. So you hold your tongue. You leave him and go into the room and open those scriptures and you don't let them depart out of your eye. See, like you almost break out into a cold sweat. Withdrawal symptoms. He says, listen. So you keep doing that for some time, you enter into rest. Even when it comes, who, it doesn't even affect you again. The way you used to react, you know, we won't agree in this house, you don't know why, you know, all that has left you. Now, you know what happens? And your mind is preoccupied with seeing him right. The Bible says, if they were mindful of the country from which they came, they would have created opportunity to go back. Whatever your mind is full of, you see the opportunity to do it. So what happens? After some time, you start seeing opportunities you didn't see before in that house. You realize that when he comes back home, you are clicking DSTV as he's carrying all his bags and all of that. And he's really working hard and all of that. You are clicking. You say, your food is there, but you're clicking and all of that. Showing more interest in the DSTV than him. Then the Holy Ghost, because when you begin to meditate, all right, your recognition system becomes awakened. All right, your intuitive faculty becomes awakened. You start knowing things. When the Bible says you know all things, the Holy Ghost, they say rubbing off with the Holy Ghost. You start knowing things intuitively. To know something intuitively means without any experience or memory, you know the right thing to do. So you just see the Holy Ghost says, go and carry the bag. Ah, so just get up and say, oh, let me help you carry. Ah. He says, hope nothing. You know. Chill, there's no trouble. No, I'm just, and he looks at the sincerity. He does that. Another pocket you see somewhere that you are not feeling, you start feeling that. It starts breaking him down. Then he too comes one day, that, okay, this evening, because what causes the problem in Sunday evening, he gone with the boys. He just comes and says, you know, I actually think you deserve my time. By that time, you are running inside yourself. But don't, it's still the air. Don't start saying, hey, I got the promise of God for you, and I was meditating on you. You follow what I'm saying here? But if you stay there, you will see your recognition system will be awakened. Can you imagine? Joseph became prime minister. The only experience he had was in prison, and he was comfortable as prime minister. You understand? I mean, if they take you to Asoroko White House, somebody has to show you how they don't stand there. This way, but you just go there now and you are comfortable, which means somewhere the Holy Ghost had shown him things to come. Are you following what I'm saying? As you are meditating, the Holy Ghost takes you. So what happens in your business is you sit down and suddenly you've been saying, where is it? A conversation just happens and something just strikes inside you. That's what you should do. That's what you should do. You know how you know? Who was it? It was when Mary spoke. Elizabeth said the babe leaped in her womb. Somebody will say something and something just leap in you. That's it. You know what they said? Caroline Leaf said this. If you take the brain of a multimillionaire, five of them. I'm just giving us an example, though. And the brain of people, five people in poverty. You will find the neural pathways of the multimillionaire look the same when you scan it. In other words, if you give them a situation, they will respond the same way. You give the people in poverty a situation, they will respond the same way. Which means if you give an opportunity and you hide it, they will say, yay! You give it to the person, they say, look, hold it, look properly. There might be something deeper in this. So it's a question of changing your wiring. Then you see life differently. Because you capture data with your eyes, but you interpret data with your mind. What you see is your mind that determines what you see. Your eyes only capture the data. Your mind is what says this is what it is. So your mind, and I've said this before, one time, recognition system, a friend came to see me with a brand new car. I said, this car is unique. This color is different. Never seen it before. That same day, as I was going back, at traffic light, I looked on the right, that color was there. I looked over, the color was there. I've been seeing the color, but I never saw it until my recognition system was awakened. Someone says, this is the family, this is the Ankara we're using for this service. Oh, wonderful. I've never seen Ankara like this. God, unique. This is how they make new Ankara. Look at how they put the leaves. Man, very good. I'm going to sew my own. On your way to the tailor, you see somebody crossing the road. Meanwhile, the man has been wearing this Ankara 3 times a week, selling across the road. But you never saw it until you saw it. Which means what you see in the Word of God, you start seeing in life. Are you following what I'm saying? This is the work the church has got to do. And without that work, it says it is the toughest work in the world. However, those that do it, all right, become exceptional. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.